Good day again and welcome to our service. And we are getting towards the end of our series on Exodus. And last week, we looked at how the Israelites had sinned against God so grievously by worshiping an idol that they had made. And the consequences of their sin was massive. 3,000 people were slain by the Levites, who also, by the way, then had to live with the trauma of having to slay their own brothers and neighbors. And a plague broke out, which would have killed many more. But there is yet another consequence which hurt the people even more than that. So from Exodus 33, verse 1, the Lord said to Moses, "Depart, go up from here," here being Mount Sinai, "you and the people whom you have brought up out of the land of Egypt, to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, 'To your offspring I will give it.' I will send an angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not be among you, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people." When the people heard this disastrous word, they mourned, and no one put on his ornaments. "I'm not going with you," says the Lord. "I am fed up. I am angry with you." This one thing that had set the people of Israel apart from all of the other nations of the world was that the Lord was with them. This ever-present source of confidence that they had, present with them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And God is not going to be there in that way anymore. They get this destroying angel to go and clear the way for them, but with all respect, that scant consolation for the very presence of Yahweh. And so now, finally, the penny drops for Israel. Their sin, their breaking of the covenant that they made with the Lord, has now resulted in a separation from God. It is the consequence of their sin. And now, finally, they grieve what they've done. They mourn what they've done. They weep over it. And they take off all of their ornaments because there is just some glimmer of hope, perhaps, that God will change his mind, that God would relent and would continue to go with them, because without him, they have no hope. And once again, it's Moses who goes on behalf of the people to plead their case before the Lord. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. And yet you've said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And he said to him, "If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not that you're in your going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth?" Moses is really starting to get the heart of God here now. And he understands what God wants from his people. And he knows that it is the very presence of God amongst them that sets them apart and gives them their identity in the nations. They are the people of God. And so Moses says, "If you're not with us, what are we? We're hopeless. I cannot lead this people. If you're not with us, I don't want to go anywhere. I'm staying." And the Lord said to Moses, gives him this final affirmation, "The very thing that you've spoken, I will do. For you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. Because of my friendship with you, Moses, I will go with you, and I will be with the people. They will have me once again." There's a precious encounter that's going on here between God and Moses and their friendship. And we're told that Moses had such an amazing and intimate friendship with God that Moses would withdraw to his tent outside the camp every day and spend time with the Lord and speak to him face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And so it's on the basis of this friendship and this relationship, "I found favor with you," You told me I found favor with you, says Moses, that he asks these things, that he dares to ask that the Lord's presence go with the people. But Moses dares then to ask one more thing of God. Moses says, please show me your glory. Why did Moses ask this? After all, Moses already had this unique and amazing relationship with God. What more did Moses want? He wanted all of it. He wanted to see all there is to God. He wanted to go deeper, to be completely immersed in the things of God, in his nature, in his character, his passions, and everything else. He says, if I'm going to lead these people, I need you, Lord. I need all of you. Show me your glory. Show me everything. But there is a problem. And God explains to Moses that if he were to see God in all of his glory, he would die. See, Moses is a relatively good person relative to all of the other Israelites whose hearts are wayward. Moses has a very intimate relationship with God, but he is still a sinner with blood on his hands. And he still has his moments of failure. And he cannot stand in the presence of the Lord on his own steam. He will be destroyed. So God makes a plan. And he says, Moses, here's what we're going to do. You're going to go out and you're going to stand on the rock, on the mountain. There's a specific place where I want you to stand. And I will come past and I will cover your face with my hand. And as I pass, I'll take my hand off and you can see my back. That is as much as you could possibly handle of me. And so God commands him. He says, bring 2 stone tablets. Meet me up on the mountain tomorrow morning. And that's what we're going to do. And I will protect you in that way. And so Moses does that. He goes up, tablets in hand, descends the mountain. Ascends the mountain. God comes down in a cloud over the mountain. And this is what happens as God moves past Moses. He does exactly what he said. He puts his hand over Moses' eyes. And as he walks past, releases his hand, Moses sees the back of him. And this is what the Bible says, Exodus 34 from verse 6. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers and the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. And Moses quickly bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. So how did God reveal his glory to Moses? There wasn't a display of power. It wasn't in a miracle. It wasn't in an earthquake or fire or in lightning or even a booming voice coming from heaven. It wasn't in a deep hidden secret. No burning bush this time. But like the encounter with the burning bush, God's great revelation to Moses in chapter 3, if you remember, was this, that God spoke his name. When Moses said, whom shall I say is sending me to Egypt to confront Pharaoh? And God gave Moses the name, I am, the I am that sent you. I am that which I am. But this time God speaks out, reveals his glory, and that he speaks out his name and his nature. Jewish tradition refers to these words as God's, the 13 attributes of God. But for time's sake, we're not going to unpack all 13 of them. We're going to look just at the bigger picture as God reveals his identity to Moses. I am the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Forgiving iniquity, the sin that you deliberately do, the transgressions, the mistakes that you make, and the fact that you are sinful in nature. And the great overarching thing about God is his grace and his love for his children. He's not like the gods of Egypt or of Canaan, who are violent and angry. He is slow to anger. He is generous, and this God forgives. This is great news for Moses. This is great news for the people who are sitting at the bottom of the mountain, hoping against hope that God would forgive their transgressions and restore relationship with them. And this is good news for you as well. This is good news because you've messed up and you have indulged in your own spiritual idolatry. You've loved the things of this world more than God. Sometimes you've loved the gifts that he has given you more than you've loved the giver. That was part of the sin of the Israelites. They enjoyed God's provision, but they didn't enjoy God himself. We're not that keen on the relationship aspect of what he called them to. But God's grace and God's love for his people is far bigger than that. Though they sin against him, though they cheat on him, though they love the things of this world more than him, he is gracious, forgives again and again and again. However, there is a big but in that statement from the Lord. And he says, I will by no means clear the guilty, and I will visit the iniquity of their fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation. There is always going to be a price for sin. As loving and compassionate as God is, sin still matters. Yet as we know, in his great compassion, God has found a way to resolve even that. And I'll talk about that in a moment. But after another 40 days and nights on the mountain, this time not with no eating or drinking, Moses eventually descends. They go over the laws and the statutes again. Moses comes down from Mount Sinai alone this time. And unbeknown to Moses, this time as he arrives back at the camp, because of the depth of the encounter, the intimacy, the intensity of the encounter that he has with God, he's actually glowing. And the people cannot look at him because his face is glowing too brightly. But he delivers the word from the Lord and thereafter puts on a veil to spare the eyes of the Israelites. And from what we can read and assume is that Moses had to wear that veil for the rest of his life. So much did he reflect the glory of the Lord. And the only time he would take that veil off was when he went into the tent to meet with God. But Moses comes down, he brings them good news. Firstly, that the covenant has been renewed. And there is a new set, a brand new set of stone tablets with the Ten Commandments because of the grace of God. Despite Israel's awful spiritual adultery, despite their ungrateful hearts and their sinful ways, God's awesome nature has made a way to forgive them and to start afresh, a brand new clean slate. But even more importantly, God has assured the people of his continued presence as they travel towards the promised land. Now in the form of something called the tabernacle, which we're going to look at next week. He's with them once more. He's made a way and they start from fresh. How grateful are you for the grace of God in your life? He has been so faithful to you. Despite your wickedness, despite your love of idols, can you give him the honor due to him now? Can you recognize the hand of God in your life and the presence of Jesus Christ that has made this possible, that you can now walk in restored relationship with him, that your sin has been atoned for in full, past, present, and even the sin to come, because of who Jesus is, because of what he has done, because of the gracious God who has made a way? Do you understand now that if you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, your sin is no longer counted against you. And your slate is as clean as those brand new stone tablets that Moses held were. No longer broken. Your covenant no longer broken, but renewed and restored. This is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But never forget how much it cost. Don't for a second think that this was done cheaply. This came at a price. Blood was shed for your sin. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your word and for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross on our behalf. Lord, I pray that today you would reveal for us, as we consider these truths that we've spoken about now, would reveal something more of your glory to us. And that as we bask in that glory of your compassionate and forgiving nature, that in some way as well, Lord God, we would reflect to the world that glory. We would live lives of gratitude and grace that would draw others in so we can point them to you, our Lord and Savior. Thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, I just want to say, if there is any way that we can pray for you or encourage you, please get in touch with us at the church. We love to just come alongside you in however we can and helping you to make that connection with Jesus Christ so that you're walking in the fullness of his grace and restoration. Let's close off today with a benediction. So now may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who called us is faithful, and he will do it. Amen.